welcome you to board meeting, and we have all board members present, and Superintendent Citrude and Jared Black is here. And we will begin by having the Pledge of Allegiance. If you all please stand.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will begin with the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes from August 2013 meeting, financial reports for August 2013 meeting. Are there any questions about those that haven't been cleared?
I move that we approve.
I would second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have personnel actions, names for approval.
We have several names. I've added one since I sent you your packet. We have Susan Childs as an educational assistant at Cottonwood Elementary, 3 hours a day. This is to replace Sarah Grindley, who quit. Erin Hertzman is an educational assistant in preschool at Cottonwood. This is 29 and a half hours a week. This one, we're moving Doris Price into two other positions that are vacant and putting someone else there. This Erin Hertzman, Lindsay Hinkins, an educational assistant, special education for a special needs student. This is 29 and a half hours a week also. Kirk Christiansen as the head wrestling coach at Emory High. And Jack Butler and Mike Monfredi as 4-hour custodians at Emory High School. I'd recommend the board approve those new employees, new hires.
Okay, any questions on those?
I would make a motion that we accept them as you have given them to us and hire them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have policy revisions. IAA, Student Education Plan and Career and College Readiness.
It used to be SEOP.
Oh, okay.
This is our SEOP policy. We had the counselors go over the policy, bring it up to date with the comprehensive guidance requirements now, since they've changed over the years. The new policy is called Student Education Plan and Career and College Readiness, or SEOP and CCR, or SEP and CCR SEOP. But anyway, the change, it isn't much different than the old policy, a couple of minor changes. The new comprehensive guidance guidelines require only one SEOP per year, either a group or individual. And it also reflects the changes that we talked about in board meeting, which would allow any school to write a plan for fulfilling that responsibility if they choose to do that. The board already has a process in place, but each school, if they want to write their own plan and have the board approve it by policy, can do that. So we're just more or less updating it at this time, and I'd recommend the board approve that.
Okay. Any questions on that?
I thought it looked really good on that we approve it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have a bid approval, garbage removal service.
We have not bid for this in about 7 years, and so I send out a request for bids for a new 5-year contract. And I guess technically we call it refuse removal, but anyway. Carrie and Irene and I reviewed the bids. We received one from City Sanitation and one from Emory Sanitation. And we set up the bidding process so that 85% would be based on price and 15% on references. We did contact references for both groups. I think I gave you a tabulation of our scores for that. And we'd like to recommend that the bid be awarded to Emory Sanitation. The difference in cost over the 5-year contract would be about $8,000 less for Emory Sanitation. And in terms of the references, both received really good references. We've had a couple of concerns with Emory Sanitation in the age of their vehicles and some oil leaking onto our property when they pick up the garbage, but I don't think it's anything that in my mind would change our recommendation.
So they've had it in the past, isn't that correct?
Yes. Yeah, we've had Emory Sanitation for the last several years. But generally speaking, I did speak with all of our custodians. Generally speaking, they've been happy with Emory Sanitation, and I feel like they've been really accommodating when they've needed an extra pickup or an emergency's happened, or, you know, whatever it might be. They've gone out of their way to help those situations. So our recommendation from the committee is to award that bid to Emory Sanitation. Are there any questions?
Is it 5 years for a special reason? I just know that they each year increases. Is that just...
And that's typical. They, part of their bid was to put over the 5-year contract how much of an increase they would have each year. And so we build that in. And that, that is typical. The spec that I sent out for the bid was from the state of Utah. I just got the one that they use for the same type of service. And in talking to them, they said that's very common to build in. And it, I think it was 3% that they asked for.
It looked like it was maybe something we were just putting in for the 5-year lock, so to say. So I thought maybe
And that does, it locks that price in so that there's no question about should we give a raise this year or not, you know, or anything like that.
Why Booby would accept that bid?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, bid approval for elevator maintenance service.
Okay. We have one elevator in the district that we have to have maintenance every month. It's at the Spartan Center, and it's very expensive, but we have really no way around it. It has to be done. Right now, and
it is ridiculous, isn't it?
Right now we pay probably somewhere between $400 and $500 a month for that service.
Oh.
And we've renegotiated with, I think you call it Bison Group, but I'm not sure, a couple of times, and they'll lower it, but then they build in these monstrous increases every year. So I wanted to put something more on our terms. So we sent out for bids. I sent it to 5 elevator companies. They're all along the Wasatch Front. We only got a response from one, which is the same company that we deal with, but they did give us a lower price starting at $300 a month the first year, which you can see $3,600 a year. But the increases are much more reasonable based on what we've seen. So I would like to recommend that we go ahead with this and approve the bid from Bison Group.
Maybe we could start charging for riding.
That's a good idea.
Put a little token thing up.
$10 to go down. And,
free to go up, and you have to.
Well, I'd make a motion that we accept that bid.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, request for temporary maintenance worker.
Okay. Were you all able to read the letter?
Yes.
We got from Carrie? Okay. Well, Carrie, do you want to add anything to what you explained in the letter?
I basically explained it there, and it's just that a lot of the things we had hoped to get done during the summer, and extensive heating projects on the high areas, we find that we're not prepared for the upcoming heating season like we should be. And so that's basically the need for our request to get someone to help for a couple of months to try to get caught up with that.
So it looks like the total cost would be about $2,800. Is that what you project for that? I think he, I see the little note at the bottom.
I had just made some notes there. That would be
per month. That'd be
for one month.
For 1 month.
So probably
okay.
Twice that.
All right.
And if we did do this, it would have to be essentially with general fund balance.
Okay.
Because we just don't have extra in our budget this year. It's a one-time thing, so it wouldn't really have a lasting impact or make a big difference in that fund balance, but that would have to be the plan that we use for paying for it. We looked into the possibility of using capital funds, but I can't find any provisions that would allow us to do that.
Okay, any discussion on that, questions?
I think that the letter is fairly self-explanatory, and I think our maintenance people do an excellent job. I move that we approve that temporary position.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, let's go to the principal's report. Principal Jones.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Canyon View Junior High, the best junior high in southeastern Utah. Voted on by me. So, but anyway, just welcome here this evening. I really don't have too much. I'm not going to take much of your time this evening, but maybe just a couple of quick things just to kind of keep you up to date. And again, I'm sure you're aware of this anyway, but just kind of keep you up to date what's going on here at Canyon View. Janine Chenoth is a new teacher here this year at Canyon View. She teaches CTE intro, which is a seventh grade class. She also teaches facts exploration to eighth graders, family and consumer science. And she teaches teen living right now to ninth graders. And we're really excited to have her here. She's been a real good addition to our faculty. We have two part-time custodians that are working out very well. Marie Greenan and Marcia Farnsworth, sisters, they're twins. And they're doing a real good job, so we're glad to have them here at the junior high as well. Just a little bit about our enrollment this year. We're just about the same. I think last year at this time we had 194 students. This year we're at 195. We just had one check in today, so maybe we're 196. So. But we have wonderful kids here, wonderful students. We have, you know, I think over the last few years, you know, we haven't had to call the sheriff's office for any type of alcohol-related offenses or tobacco or drugs or those kind of things. So I think we just have wonderful kids here, so can't say enough about them. Just a few of the other things that are going on. We really appreciate the new heating and air system that we have here at the junior high. The maintenance crew has been working hard, kind of getting everything kind of taken care of, kind of getting the bugs worked out a little bit. But it has really been nice this fall, the air conditioning. And so we're real appreciative of that. Our trailer out here in front of the school, we got that all cleaned out this past summer. We actually have a class out there now. We have our special education, our resource teacher, Mr. Bird, out there. It works really well for him because he uses one side of the trailer, and then his two aides, Al Lemon and Tammy Rowley, can take kids into the other classroom and work individually with them on the other side. So that's been a good thing. This year, the first year, we did online registration here at Canyon View, and I thought overall that was a big success. Anytime you do something for the first time, you know, you find out a few things that you can do a little better, and we've discovered that. And so I think you probably participated in it. How did it go for you?
Good, except for it did double charge me on one item because I must have kind of clicked it twice.
I told you there was a few bugs.
That worked.
But not
for you.
Bad. It was very simple.
Yeah, so that's good on our part, right? So, but anyway, we had a little over 100 kids, 100 students, 100 parents that registered online, and I thought the process overall went pretty well. So, like I say, there's still a few little things to work out, but
it was nice, though, really.
Yeah. So. And we still had a day where parents and students could come in and register at school as well. So it did work out pretty well. Just a few things on the technology part. This year, our school improvement plan, one of the things that we are working on is just trying to incorporate technology. We started last year, and we're going to continue this year with some, you know, professional development with teachers. We're working on kind of interactive lessons to, you know, kids love this kind of stuff. And so, you know, to use little bit of interactive technology as we get started, you know, I think will be a good thing for our students here at Canyon View. To go along with that, our school now, the entire school is now, we have Wi-Fi throughout the entire school. Last year, we only had a couple of different areas, so, you know, we're making progress there. We also have a new security system that Doug Johnson is going to, he's working on that part, but we greatly appreciate that too. That was approved through capital outlay, and I think that's going to be a real benefit to our school to update kind of the security here, so appreciate that. Again, just glad to have you here this evening. Appreciate everything you do for, you know, all of us here at Canyon View, and again, you know, we have wonderful students here, have a wonderful faculty and staff, and I think, you know, it's a good school. I mean, like any school, there's room for improvement, there's areas that we are working on, but, you know, overall, it's a good school. So, again, appreciate you being here.
Thank you. We know that the excellent staff and principal that's at Canyon View contributes to the success of the school.
Thank you.
So we know that you set the tone of what you expect here and the kids will achieve. So thank you very much, and thanks to your staff. Let's go to the business administrator's report.
Just a couple of quick things. We have our auditors here this week and probably part of next week. So far, so good. I think we'll be on our typical schedule of having them report in the November board meeting. But thus far, things have seemed to go okay with that. And then, I can't remember if I've mentioned this before, but I have started working on the state office and also partly through one of the bills that was passed in the legislature. There are some pretty significant revisions that we're required to make in relation to our purchasing and expenditure and receiving policies and fundraising and donations and all of that. So not just the money handling at the district office, but at the schools as well. And so I am, the state office has given us sample policies with all of the things that we need to cover in those, and I'm working through those to try to incorporate what they're recommending with what we already do. But hopefully by the October board meeting, we'll have those ready for your approval. If you hear, there was originally a September 15th deadline for these, but in meetings with the state office, they said as long as you're working on things, it's not really that big of a deal to go into October or November. We just need to be able to show that we're working on them. And we are. I just wanted to let you know that. And hopefully soon we'll have those policies in place. But it will probably involve as well a fairly lengthy money handling handbook that we have in the district that, you know, each school will have and will have in the district office, and it'll cover all of the scenarios and situations that we deal with. And, I think for the most part we do a really good job already. It's just formalizing a little bit more what we do. Do you have any comments on that?
All I know is that it's a huge undertaking.
That is, it sounds like it. It's probably brought about by some
events. Time
to
get through
the
procurement policy, it could cover half the thickness of our policy manual currently.
Really?
Well, I know Jared will condense it down to Reader's
Digest
version.
Simplify it.
But the sample
right.
Policies they send is about an inch and a half thick. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Well.
It's very complex.
I'm sure. Trying to get a hold on that, I'm sure. Let's do the superintendent's report. Thanks, Jared.
Okay, I've just sent to you enrollment report for the first day of school. It shows, and I'm sure that, of course, and as Mr. Jones has pointed out, there is some changes already in those numbers, but day one of school, in comparison to October 1st of last year, October 1st, 2000, of last year, we had 2,302 students, and day one, we had 2,308 students, so we were up six overall on the first day, but I think we will pick up a few more students, and by October 1st, that could be, hopefully it'll be on the better side of, and not lose students. The big difference that I see is in the difference between the total number of elementary and total number of secondary, which have been more balanced than that in the past, but recognizing there are 6th grade level of secondary and 7 in the elementary, but typically there hasn't been a 400, 350 student difference anyway. But anyway, that's our day one enrollment. Some of the numbers you see, the self-contained is not accurate on the elementary because we didn't have all of those numbers in the first day of school. The red numbers, I think, are the number of teachers that we have in the elementary out to the side of each of those grade levels in each of the schools. And so we'll update this as we get further into the school year and should have a pretty accurate number by October, because that's when they take the official count. But that's just for your information. We were glad to see that we didn't drop 100 kids, and especially with how tight the budget is this year. The only other thing I have is if you have any questions about the school grading, it's been my favorite subject, as you're well aware, for the past year or two. I'll just make, you have that information, I'll just make a couple of comments again to you, and I have some of that written here. My concern over the years, over the last 2 years that I've talked about this, is that the school grades really do not reflect accurately the data, nor the measures of student achievement. When President Niederhauser of the Senate introduced this legislation through another senator, because being the president of the Senate, he can't introduce legislation. So through another legislator introduced the current grading bill. It went through the Senate. It passed the House by 2 votes. And basically, if one of those had changed their vote, it wouldn't have passed. But we do know that there was a lot of negotiating going on, and as I talked to some of our representatives, even threats were made. I know that they threatened to pull the necessary existing small schools funding out of the budget if our representatives did not vote for that legislation. It did squeak by. The governor was going to veto it because of the flaws in it. President Niederhauser talked with the governor and said, and this is on record, said that if the governor would not veto it, that he would make sure that a group of people that are, including education and legislators, they would bring all parties together and they would fix the problems with it so that it did have an accurate reflection of what schools are doing. Once the deadline for veto passed, President Niederhauser said, never mind, I think it's good the way it is. The governor then was going to call a special session of the legislature to get it corrected, but apparently didn't feel that he had enough votes in the Senate to pass it in the Senate, although he would have in the House. And so it did become, it took effect. Those grades for schools were released yesterday. The UCAS reports is the reports that we really depend on for our accountability, which breaks down all of the assessment, will be released at the end of September. You have preliminary copies of that, but that changes over the next month as districts look at the data and make changes to and make corrections to errors that were made and so forth, and that'll be released the end of September. So to me, this school grading is more of a distraction than it is anything. I know that most of us are old enough to remember when we graded on a curve. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Kim is or not. She's old enough to remember that. If you know the bell curve, you have a hill in the middle with kind of shaped like a bell and a line down the middle, and no matter what, half of your kids were above and half were below. That's the way it had to be. And so as your kids show progress, the bell moved. So I'll give you an example. If every kid, if every school in the state scored at a score of 80 to 100, which right now is an A, if every school scored between 80 to 100, that bell would move up to where if you got 80 to 88 or 89, you'd still get an F. That's what you're looking at when you're talking about a bell curve, because half of the state schools are below middle and half are above, no matter where it falls. The state used, the law required that they take some growth, and basically they took a certain number of students or percent of students who were below proficient and compared their growth with other districts in the state of the same level of kids and what growth they made. It does not measure the growth of every student, nor does it measure the proficiency of every student. So it doesn't take into account kids who may have been really low, who may have gained two or three grade levels in a year. It doesn't count that growth, because those kids still may be in a non-proficient category, but they made tremendous growth themselves individually. So it doesn't measure that. And it also doesn't take into account, particularly this year and next year, that we have an old assessment assessing a new Common Core. And so your student achievement data, really, your tests aren't really testing the new core curriculum. And the other thing is, next year with the introduction of what's called SAGE, and I won't try to explain that acronym right now, but it's student assessment something, something, something. Anyway, new assessments will be introduced next year, which will be renormed. And anytime you have a renorming, you automatically move that bell down and you have a drop in test scores. So we're faced with that even next year. But you know how I felt about it. All of our schools but one were at average or above on the grades. You have those reports. I will say that the one school that did fall below that center mark has 34% English language learners who have been identified by assessment as being non to limited English speakers. They have a 50% minority rate and over a 70% poverty rate.
Almost
80% poverty in the poverty rate, which is enormous challenges. I honestly expected to have even a couple of our schools get Fs this year. I was actually overall pleased with where we ended up. I know Jim is with Canyon View.
But you're really an A school.
Yeah.
But the problems come in the fact that it is skewed and it doesn't accurately measure the growth or proficiency. And that's what we wanted them to fix. And that was what the plan was, even up until last week when the governor said that he had President Niederhauser convinced to bring a group together and try to fix it and delay the release of the grades until November so that it could be done in the right way, and it was never accomplished. And so you have what you have, it is what it is, but right now, in the scheme of things, it's a grade. It doesn't give us any information to help us improve achievement. That comes with the UCAS reports and with the test data, and we work on that every year. We identify those kids who are not proficient, we identify the interventions, and we move ahead, and that's just part of our plan, part of what we do every year. So. I'm a little frustrated by the way it's all been handled. I am not displeased with where we ended. I know that we could do better when we have C's, but again, overall, I'm not disappointed, only distracted by it. And as far as UEA, I'm not sure what their take on it. I know they had a news conference on it, but there's been a lot of talk about it. But just so you know where I'm, well, you know where I'm at. I've already talked too much. But again, I am not totally unhappy with the way we ended up, considering all of the obstacles that were thrown into this. But I am concerned for the future and what this could hold. This was based on a Florida model. In Florida, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they implemented a grading system, but they also threw tens of millions of dollars into their system. 3 years ago, we were already outscoring Florida. Today, with 16 major revisions to their grading law, we still outscore Florida. And yet they fund their kids at probably three times the WPU that we have in Utah for our kids. So it's well, I'm going to stop there because I'll probably say something about choice in education, so I better quit. I do think there is some motive, political motive here to move tax money to private schools. I'll just stop at that. And that's all I have, really, unless you have any questions about it.
Well, thank you for that. We appreciate your insight, and we know the caliber of schools that we have here in the county, and appreciate that report. Are there any public comments? Okay, any closed meeting items?
We don't have, but I know that Jim has some refreshments for you in the other room, so before you go, we need to make sure that you
And I think there's some motion to adjourn, is it?
I move that we adjourn this meeting.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I have a question, the lady called me. Oh.
No.
No.
It might be 2,000.
Sorry.
Well, I don't know. We're talking about the whole program or just each kid.
No, that.
Is she saying that she has a kid on the drill team? That's how much it costs.
No, she has any kids in school, but she's contacted me about it twice.
Drill team.
In the high school.
I'd have to check the total cost of the drill team, but as far as what the district is putting into it, no. We pay drill team advisors, I couldn't tell you the number, Sam. Probably it's in the neighborhood of probably around $1,000 for the whole year.
Okay.
A couple thousand, and then parents have a fee that they pay of $450, and then they do fundraisers. But as a district, I think with transportation and everything included, where they travel, I don't know, transportation is probably the biggest cost. Because they do take buses places, but so do sports teams.
But as far as the advisors, it's about $1,000.
Yeah.
Gwen, do you remember about what our drill team advisor in the highest paid?
She says to home, and it's okay. It's, you know, I can work around it, but yeah.
I'm thinking like it's $700 to $1,000 a year, or maybe $1,200. I don't
know. I
know
we kind of switched around at some point. Sometimes we would be Tuesday nights, and then other years we kind of change when we had church responsibility.
$1,500, $1,600.
You know what?
I can
look at
it.
Or
the
big
cover. When?
Yeah.
All you
know.